From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, September 12th. I'm Abby Larico. With plenty of great barbecue restaurants around the St. Louis area, James Beard award-winning chef Gerard Kraft knew it didn't make sense to compete.
Barbecue itself in St. Louis is such a big deal, you know, so we know people come in with high expectations and their own, you know, preconceived notions of what they want barbecue to be.
So instead, he's charting a different path with his food group's new barbecue restaurant. Our conversation about it coming up after this news on The Gateway. Funding for a nursing home ombudsman program is in limbo after an attempt to override Governor Mike Parson's budget veto failed during the Missouri legislature's annual veto session. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the veto override would have restored funding to the program aimed at helping seniors.
Governor Mike Parson vetoed $2.5 million for a long-term care ombudsman program, which responds to complaints about nursing homes. In his veto letter, Parson said while this supports the important goal of helping seniors in Missouri, quote, there is insufficient funding from the appropriated source to support this item. Representative Deb Lavender tried to restore that funding through a veto override. However, Representative Jim Calberlow, who put that funding in the budget in the first place, spoke against overriding the veto.
I'm taking it there's a reason why they did this, and I'm going to take the governor's office for good for that reason, but I'm going to keep trying on that.
The override did not get the two-thirds vote it needed to pass. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A black nursing organization's trademark lawsuit against Homer G. Phillips Hospital has been dismissed. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, the organization says naming the North St. Louis Health Facility after the civil rights activist diminishes his legacy.
Jobina Foster was a nurse at Homer G. Phillips Hospital for over 20 years. She was devastated when she found out the Homer G. Phillips Nurses Alumni Inc. lawsuit was dismissed. The organization trademarked the name and has been fighting the owners of the three-bed health care facility over its use for years. A St. Louis County judge ruled the two don't provide the same services, but Foster says the group provides health care to the community.
We love it that they are providing health care services down there. We don't love the fact that you're using the profit that you're going to receive. They can name it Pruitt-Igoe. It's on Pruitt-Igoe's property line.
Foster says the organization wants to appeal the decision. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Sheriff Vernon Betts is accepting defeat in the competition for his job after coming up short in the Democratic primary last month and in a recount he petitioned for last week. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch is reporting Betts is dropping a request for another ballot recount, conceding to challenger Alfred Montgomery. Betts has been sheriff since 2017. Illinois state lawmakers are working to push stronger gun storage legislation when they return to Springfield this fall. This comes in the wake of last week's school shooting in Georgia, in which four people were killed. Democratic State Representative Mara Hershauer says her stomach dropped when she saw that headline flash across her phone screen.
We've been working on this for a long time in Springfield, but, you know, when we see tragedy, it just, you know, gives us, you know, more fortitude to keep moving forward.
Current law requires locked storage of a gun if there is a person age 13 or younger in the home. Hershauer's bill would raise that age limit to 18 and create fines of $10,000 if a minor uses a gun to cause injury or death. Missouri education leaders are looking for alternatives to standardized testing to measure student success. The state's Department of Education will apply in December to a federal program that would allow schools to administer smaller tests throughout the year. April Giorgetti is the department's Missouri Assessment Program Manager. She says teachers could adapt to student learning throughout the year.
It can help tailor tiered instruction, supports, and interventions to accelerate student growth while allowing for curricular modifications in a real-time format.
The state would ask the 37 school districts that already switched to smaller tests throughout the year to join the pilot. A nonpartisan initiative is using the arts to get people to vote ahead of the November general election. It's called Dance the Vote. The initiative uses dance, poetry, spoken word, song, graphics, video, and texting to spread voter awareness and registration. Joan Lipkin is the founder of the initiative. Lipkin says this election is a crucial turning point for the country.
It's not just about the presidential. It's also about the down ballot, and it's about amendments. And even broader than that, it is about creating community cohesion and joy and a belief in the fact that your vote does matter.
Lipkin was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Dance the Vote is hosting an all-ages party this Saturday at the Missouri History Museum. Among the performances at the Music at the Intersection Festival this weekend is a celebration of jazz from the Metro East. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, organizers hope to broaden audiences' knowledge of East Side jazz beyond one famous name.
Miles Davis. He's the first person people tend to name when listing jazz greats from the Metro East. But though Davis is the one whose childhood home is now a museum, many other musicians and educators from east of the river influenced the shape of jazz. Musician Adarin Jackson is Education Director for Jazz St. Louis, and he says Eastside jazz is a crucial part of the region's music history.
We focus west of the river, right? But what has happened east of the river that has indelibly affected St. Louis? There is no St. Louis jazz scene without East St. Louis.
Sunday's set features alumni from the East St. Louis Lincoln High School Jazz Program. Pianist Reggie Thomas, longtime jazz studies director at SIU Edwardsville, leads the tribute. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
The newest restaurant from James Beard award-winning local chef Gerard Kraft is inspired by three feelings: hunger, wanderlust, and homesickness. After years of development, Expat officially opens today in City Foundry. It's the largest concept by Kraft's niche food group yet, which includes restaurants like Brasserie and Pirano. I sat down with Kraft in the Expat dining room in the busy hours leading up to its official opening.
The name Expat implies a departure, but it's barbecue. And when you have big painted letters BBQ on the side of what was a factory, that's kind of as American as you can get.
I think the biggest misconception that some people have had when talking to me about what they're expecting Expat to be is that it will be barbecue from all these other places, but this is straight up American barbecue through the eyes of an expat, right? And so, you know, imagine you were, you know, living in another country and you were missing your ribs from home. And you went to the store to get all the ingredients for your recipe, and you had to kind of make those swaps. You know, you had to change out the spices for the spices they had available or the sweeteners they had available. And so the end product is neither, you know, say Chinese nor American at that point. You know, it's mostly an American recipe, but those flavors are just going to be a little different. So I think it's an entirely unique flavor because of that. You know, I think it's a lot of fun.
One cannot live on joy alone. It's got to pay the bills too. Does St. Louis need another barbecue restaurant? And really, can St. Louis sustain another barbecue place?
St. Louis barbecue is definitely a thing. So that was one of the biggest, you know, reasons for going this direction. This is something I think entirely new and entirely different in this city. So I think it offers kind of a fresh approach, you know, and something a little different. So, you know, I don't see ourselves really competing head to head with some of these other barbecue restaurants and just kind of, you know, being in our own lane here.
People can only eat so many meals a day. Yeah. People can only go out to eat so many times a week.
You know, I think the great thing about Expat is that we offer a little bit of two different things here. You know, downstairs, you know, for those that want to come in and have kind of a sit-down restaurant experience, we've got that. And then upstairs, we have, you know, a little more fast casual, but giant bar, live music, lounge, you know, which is, I think something we don't have enough of, actually. So I think we offer a lot of different angles that aren't really out there.
I know it's niche food group, but when people talk about it, it's a Gerard Kraft restaurant. And I don't just mean when they talk about Expat, when they talk about a new opening, a closing, a reopening. St. Louis has a lot of eyes on you as our James Beard chef. Do you feel that pressure, and how does that impact the decisions you make?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that pressure. You know, St. Louis, I moved to St. Louis when I was 25 years old to open up Niche, and you know, have been so lucky that St. Louis embraced me, and I still feel so lucky that St. Louis continues to embrace me. So, you know, I try not to let them all down, and I'm sure I make mistakes along the way, but I love this city, and I try to, you know, spread that all around the country, all around the world. When I'm in Italy, France, you know, the West Coast, the East Coast, you know, I'm always talking up St. Louis.
That was part of my conversation with Gerard Kraft, CEO of Niche Food Group. More on why Kraft is so invested in City Foundry, why he says he wouldn't recommend restaurateurs do things the way he has this year, and how expat executive chef Sam Naraki has made her place in the local barbecue community at stlpr.org. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.